All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, a couple of Sundays we talked on Sunday night ago, we talked about the holiness of God, and we saw God tell Moses to take his shoes off. And yeah, the Lord's just really been speaking to me about holiness, and we just don't hear enough about it, do we? And yet it is such a key theme of Scripture. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 1, God reminds us how important it is that we as God's children take the holiness of God seriously in our own walk. So notice verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, where we'll begin. God says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our hearts today. We do love you, and we thank you that we can assemble freely and open your word together and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I pray that we would open our hearts and be honest with the Holy Spirit today, and that you would work miracles in lives. You would be glorified, but mostly guide us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If it's okay, I'd like to jump down to verse 15. And then we'll jump back up and do the beginning of the passage. Because the key to the whole passage is, he is holy. Amen? But as he which hath called you is holy. This is New Testament, 1 Peter, God talking about his own holiness. And that is the theme of this passage, is God is holy. You know, holiness of God is in the Bible over 600 times. None other of his attributes comes even close to that in Scripture. When Isaiah, if you go to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven, and not many people were given a glimpse of heaven, Isaiah was, Ezekiel, John, and maybe the Apostle Paul. That's not very many people for 6,000 years of human history, is it? But when Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven, here in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, it says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." This is what was happening in heaven when Isaiah was given a glimpse. Now, what do we hear the most about today when talking about God? People would want to rewrite this passage and it would say love, 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 wouldn't it? Because we hear so much about the love of God. And praise God, if it wasn't for the love of God, we'd be going to hell. God so loved the world. But in heaven, this is what they were saying. Of all the attributes of God, these aren't angels. These are a special creature that we don't completely understand called seraphims. I'm sure we'll get to meet them someday. But it looks like God created these seraphims for the express purpose of declaring his holiness in heaven. Just think about that. Here's the creator of the universe. He made us. Hallelujah. But before he made us, he made these creatures called seraphims. And their mission, if you will, is to declare the holiness of God in heaven. One day we'll be in heaven and we'll be able to see God in his glory. But we'll also be able to, like Isaiah, experience these seraphims shouting the holiness of God. God is holy. Another passage, Isaiah 57, if you turn there, God talking about himself, Isaiah 57:15. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God, speaking of himself, he says, my name is holy, pardon me, and I dwell in the high and holy place. And then Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, verse 19. Thank you, James. In talking about heaven again, and talking about the blood of Jesus, which if you're born again, you have on your account. Hallelujah. And notice it says here, Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Of all the names that God could have given to the inner domain of the tabernacle on earth and in heaven, he chose to give it the name the holiest. Why is it the holiest? Well, because God is there. And like he told Moses, this is holy ground. Why? Because I'm here. And Peter here is establishing that because of the holiness of God, it should have an impact on us as God's children. A practical impact, if you will. But even in the Old Testament, if you go to Leviticus 22, I just want you to see this has been a theme of Scripture all the way through. Even when God was laying the groundwork for the law and for the priesthood and all of these things in the Old Testament, it was always about His holiness. Even the band that the priest wore said, "Holiness to the Lord." That was the only attribute that was emphasized. And here in Luke 22, verse 32, he talks about the priests and he said, "Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you." He says to Israel, whatever you do, I do not want you to profane my holy name. God is holy. And in this passage, let's go back to 1 Peter. God wants us to also be holy in all manner of conversation. Now, he gives us some practical ways in which that can be true. But let me just quickly say some things that holiness is not. Evil thoughts is not holiness. Fornication and lust is not holiness. Covetousness. These are things that Jesus talks about. That's not holiness. Amen? Tongues. Or using our tongue for evil in any way. Or being a busybody or a gossip. That is not holiness. Hypocrisy is not holiness. Malice and anger. Contention is not holiness. Envy is not holiness. Lying is definitely not holiness. Unforgiveness and bitterness, murmuring and complaining. These are just a couple of examples from the New Testament of things that are not holiness. But he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy," there in verse 15, "so be ye holy." So be ye holy. Most of us know Romans 12, 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You know what the next word is? Just this little four-letter word. Holy. Holy. "Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," and so forth. Holy. After he says he wants us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy. That's a powerful word. It's a powerful truth about our Creator, that He is holy. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7, "God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." The holiness of God should impact every aspect of our lives. We're told in Revelation chapter 15 that only He is holy. Psalm 99:3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Psalm 99:5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. It should impact every aspect of our lives, our worship, our praise. We should fear him. It should impact our prayer life, that we are entering the presence of a holy God. And so God then says, I want you to be holy in all manner of conversation. Now that word conversation is not talking about what we say, it's talking about our whole life, our whole interaction with man and with God, our entire being, if you will. He says, in all manner of conversation. And then he gives us, here in verses 13 through 14, some very practical areas where he wants us to practice holiness. And isn't it interesting? The very first one that he mentions is our mind. Boy, the devil knows what he's doing, doesn't he? With the internet and pornography. Think about it. Poisoning people's minds away from the holiness of God. And then if you go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, God talks about the battle for our mind. But the very first area that God says in our conversation that we can practice holiness, that we can strive for holiness, is in our mind. Most of us would immediately think, no, it's in the way that I dress. It's in the places that I go. No. Number one, it's in our mind. Is the devil going to try to inject unholy thoughts and thinking into our minds? Absolutely. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are all in a battle with the devil for our thoughts. That's reality. God says, I want you to be holy. Where? In your mind. That's where it begins, isn't it? The imaginations, the thoughts, as it says there. And so one area that he really wants us to focus on practicing holiness is what we think about. Most of us know Philippians 4:8. What sort of things are true and honest and good and pure and lovely and of a good report? Think on these things, Paul said. In other words, it's a conscious decision what we think about. And yeah, it's a battle, and yeah, the devil's always fighting with us, but we can choose to strive for holiness in our thought life. Now, the next thing he mentions here in 1 Peter 1:13, he says, be sober. What does that have to do with holiness? Well, what he's telling us is being holy in our conversation is taking the Christian life seriously. And the devil wants us to be flippant about the Christian life, wants us to be not serious about it, but just kind of cruise along until Jesus comes. But God says, no, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We need to be serious about the fact that hell is real, heaven is real, salvation is real, and people need to hear about Jesus, and we're here to serve him. We need to be serious and sober about the Christian life. That's being holy in all of our conversation. That we take it seriously, that we're here to serve Jesus. We're here to be faithful to Jesus. We're here to honor him with our lives. We take that seriously. And too many Christians don't. They look at the Christian life as kind of like a pastime, if you will. It's kind of on the side. You got the family, you got the job, and you got your Christianity. That's not how it works, is it? It's Christianity, and everything else fits in there. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So another area where we can be holy in all of our conversation is not only in our thoughts, but by taking the Christian life seriously, realizing that we will one day be with a holy God for eternity. And that it is His holiness that demanded justice, which is why Calvary had to happen. Then the third thing he mentions in verse 13, he says, "And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We're talking practicalities here. He says, I want you to not only be sober about your Christian life, but I also want you to keep your eyes on the future. To live for then and not now. If we're going to be holy in our conversation, then our lives are not going to be about here, they're going to be about there. Set your affection on things above, we're told in Colossians chapter 3, not on things in the earth. To be focused on the fact that, yes, Jesus is coming back. And we should be planning and preparing and living for that. Philippians 3:20 is an example. Let's turn there. There are many in Scripture that tell us to be looking for Jesus, expecting Jesus, watching for Jesus. Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. There's that word conversation again. That means that our lives, we're already in heaven in God's doctrinal understanding and truth, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at 1 John 3:3, where again he makes it clear that expecting Jesus to come back should have a purifying effect in our Christian walk. That's practical. 1 John 3:3, look what it says. Every man that hath this hope in him, talking about the hope of the return of Jesus, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We're talking about practical holiness. God says we need to control our thoughts because the devil's going to be attacking our thought life. We need to take the Christian life seriously because God is holy. And we need to be living for the return of Jesus that we're going to spend forever, that we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through, and expecting Him to return at any moment and not wanting to be ashamed when He does. That's why we would purify ourselves. You know, when the kids are little and they won't go to bed, and you tell them, this is the last time, go to bed, I'm going to leave the door cracked just a little bit, and I'm going to come check. And if you're in here goofing around, you know what's going to happen to your backside. And so they lay there and they're watching the crack in the door, and they go, oh, I better be good because mom or dad could come at any moment. And so they have to wait and they fall asleep. But they keep themselves where they should be because they don't know. It could be in 1 minute. It could be in 10 minutes. And of course, we're all forgetful. And none of us check anyway, do we? But, oh, I was supposed to go check. But Jesus is coming back. It could be this afternoon. God says, I want you to be holy in all manner of conversation because I could come back at any moment. And as it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, you don't want to be ashamed that it is coming because you're not being holy. So practical holiness, protecting your thought life, taking the Christian life seriously, living for them. Look at verse 14 now of our passage, 1 Peter 1, as obedient children. Obedience and holiness go hand in hand, of course, don't they? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We are God's children. He is our Father. If we're born again Christians, I hope everyone can say they are a born again Christian. And if not, you must be born again, Jesus said, if you want to see heaven. But if you are born again, you're in a new family. God is your Father. You're His child. God wants you to be what? An obedient child. What every parent wants. Amen? An obedient child. Not a disobedient child. That's practical holiness. God is holy. I love Him. And I want to obey His commandments for my life. Practical holiness is this desire to obey God. And then lastly, verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your or ignorance. What does he mean? He means we're not to be, well, look at Romans 12, 2. We're not to be conformed to this world. That's what he means by fashioning yourselves. We all fashion ourselves one way or another. We can either fashion ourselves to be more like Jesus, or we can fashion ourselves to be more like, as it says there, our former lusts and our ignorance, our old life, the world. We always have a choice to make how we're going to fashion ourselves. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world. Practical holiness means we are separate from the world. We don't let the world conform us or fashion us to be like them. We instead fashion ourselves to be like Jesus. And that's why we're told in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So God says, I am holy. Of all the attributes of God, his number one attribute in Scripture, I am holy. And he says, and I want you now to be holy. In all manner of conversation, I want you to control your thought life. Keep your thoughts holy. I want you to take the Christian life seriously, because it's serious. I want you to hope for the end. I want you to look for the return of Jesus and let that have a purifying effect in your Christian life. I want you to be an obedient child, and I want you to not be fashioned by the world. I want you to be, as it says in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him also ought to walk as he walked. Walk as Jesus walked. So it says there in verse 15 in 1 Peter 1, in all manner of conversation, this is what God wants from each of us. Colossians 1:10, that we walk worthy of the Lord, that we be holy in all manner of our lives, of what we are, who we are, how we talk, how we act. God wants us to be holy. Look at Ephesians 4 quickly, if you would. We're almost done. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. He says that you put off. So there it is again. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Now, he's already ours, but he wants us to daily put him on. Look, it says, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. You cannot impose holiness onto people by forcing them to do and not do certain things. Holiness has to come from the heart. Holiness has to come from within. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know, when you witness to people, the worst thing you could ever do is imply that, well, you really can't get saved until you change your life. That's just dumb. That's works. No, you get saved, God will change your life. Amen? God will change you. Because the Holy Spirit is going to move in. And he's going to start imposing holiness from the inside out. And will your appearance maybe change? Of course. But the point is the heart. The Holy Spirit will work on you and produce in you, as we read here in Ephesians 4:24, true holiness. Not fake holiness like the Pharisees practiced with their long list of do's and don'ts. But were they holy? No. They were lost sinners going to hell. This is what God wants from each of us. He says, I am holy, But as he which hath called you is holy, as he's called us to be Christians, he's called us to be his children, hallelujah, he's holy. So be ye holy, that's us, in all manner of conversation. In everything that we are, everything that we do, even the things that we think about, God says, I want you to be holy. Now this, by the way, is not something that happens overnight. This is a process. Salvation is an event. Holiness is a process. Because the Holy Spirit, depending on how late in life we got saved, he's got a lot of work to do when he moves in. Amen? A lot of furniture to rearrange, a lot of stuff to get out, a lot of sweeping to do of the floor. There's a lot of changes he needs to make. And we're stubborn and selfish. And so we resist those changes, don't we? But what's he trying to do? Well, he's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to make us more holy. Because God is holy. And we're his children. And he wants us to be like him. Because you know what? One day, we'll be standing there where Isaiah stood. And we'll be allowed to see those seraphims shouting, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we will fall on our faces and praise God for his salvation that allowed us to be there. Amen. But while we're here, what does he want? Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word reminding us today of your amazing holiness. And I pray, Lord, it would impact us, that we wouldn't just assent to its truth, but we realize that it's supposed to change us in all manner of our conversation. So, Lord, may we be honest with the Holy Spirit, evaluate ourselves in light of your word, and allow you to change those things that need change, remove those things that need removed, that we might be more holy in our conversation, that we might honor and please you. So, Lord, may we be honest with the Holy Spirit today and in the days to follow in this area, and may that be our goal, that we be holy. Lord, if someone in this room not born again, this was not for them. They're a sinner. They need Christ. And I pray they'll realize that Jesus died to pay for their sins, rose again to offer them eternal life. And they'll come to Christ today and be born again. Those of us that are Christians, may we be willing to acknowledge the areas in our lives where we're not holy and allow you to start working on those areas. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.